fröhlich pilgern wir unserer Heimat zu, auf den guten alten Weg. Denn kommt hier zur Ruhe, auf den guten alten Weg. Einer ist, der nie uns lässt im Kampf und Streit, der in Leid und Freude schenkt uns Tapferkeit. Einer, dessen der höchste Lohn, Jesus, der Gottes Sohn. Unseres Fußes Leuchte ist Gottes Wort, auf den guten alten Weg. Alle Macht der Finsternis treibt fort, auf den guten alten Weg. Keiner ist, der nie uns lässt im Kampf und Streit, der in Leid und Freude schenkt uns Tapferkeit. Einer, dessen Freundschaft unser höchster Lohn, Jesus, der Gottes Sohn. Oft ist still und einsam es um uns her, auf den guten alten Weg. Es wird zu bang und schwer, auf den guten alten Weg. Einer ist, der nie uns lässt in Kampf und Streit, Leid und Freude schenkt uns Tapferkeit. Einer, dessen Freundschaft unser höchster Lohn, Jesus, der Gottes Sohn. Wohl ist manche unser Teil, das ewige Heil, auf den guten alten Weg. Einer ist, der nie uns lässt in Kampf und Streit, der in Leid und Freude verkeilt. Unser höchster Lohn, Jesus, der Gottes Sohn. Einer ist, der nie uns lässt im Kampf und Streit, der in Leid und Freude schenkt uns Tapferkeit. Einer, dessen höchster Lohn, Jesus, der Gottes Sohn. Einer ist, der nie uns lässt in Kampf und Streit, in Leid und Freude schenkt uns Tapferkeit. Einer, dessen unser höchster Lohn, Jesus, der Gottes Sohn.
Amen. Nun bitten wir Bruder Frank.
Now we ask Brother Frank. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord, our God, for His grace and faithfulness, which we experienced already many times throughout all the years. We could experience it. Thanks be to Him for the privilege that we can be here tonight. I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord, especially all who are coming from far and near, from the Eastern Europe, from Western Europe, from all the neighboring countries, from Nepal. Yes. From half of the world, that's how one could say, from Africa. And we are greeting from here all our brethren, all our sisters. I've written down some names and countries and cities which are sending greeting to us, brethren who were phoning. I just read it quickly. From Kinshasa, from Santiago, from Canada, from Denmark, from Romania, from Johannesburg, from Cape Town, from Durban, from Kigali. Brother Graf phoned, Brother Etienne phoned, Brother John from Bucharest phoned in. All are joined with us. 4 weeks ago, it were exactly 160 computers which were connected worldwide to hear and to see and to receive the wonderful Word of God. We are just so grateful for the possibilities which we have to carry the Word of the Lord, to give out the spiritual food and to warn this generation for the last time and to give the calling out so that people who are hearkening to the voice of the Lord, that they have their possibility to put their lives in order before God and to experience also their preparation. Then, just briefly, I have to ask something. Who wants to participate in the Israel trip? Up to now, we have 13 or 14 registrations, and this is not enough. Should someone want to participate, please let it be known to us so that we can either agree or we can cancel. I have written down a quote of Brother Branham here, which really touched my heart. I will refer to it also a bit later on. He spoke about the spiritual battle, about the race, which is also sometimes done in sport. And he said, whoever is giving up will not be victorious. And a victor does not give up. A victor does not give up. A victor has the goal before his eyes. And he doesn't even look behind him. He is not interested in those who are running behind him. He is interested in the goal so that he reaches there as the victor. So, whoever gives up cannot be victorious. And a victor does not even think about to give up. Sir, we are looking to the Lord who started, who will also finish. He has taken the responsibility for us. Everything what is left to us is to believe with all our hearts. Once again, we welcome all of you. Who is here today for the first time in our midst? May I ask, do we have friends who are here today for the first time? Then please stand up.
Herzlich willkommen aus Lyon und herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen, herzlich willkommen. Gott segne euch.
God bless you.
Herzlich willkommen. Doch
be welcome. To the Lord be the thanks. Sometimes the thought comes to me, the more people can listen and see over the internet, they will then be missing here. But we believe that God nevertheless calls his people together and he speaks to us. And of course also to all of the bride church worldwide. Then, this time, I wrote down some more thoughts of Brother Branham. Firstly, from the sermon, Christ revealed in his own word. And here Brother Branham says, three things ye must not do. Ye must not dislocate the word. Ye must not take the word out of context. And ye must not misinterpret the word. These are very important statements. And this I say out of thankfulness. I say it to the Lord. This we kept from the very beginning. This came to my mind because we translated a sermon of Brother Branham into the German language, the Absolute. Also to this we will come back later on. Then Brother Branham mentions in the next part, firstly, three things, and then he says, in a sermon, which then follows, 5 points ye must take heed to. It must happen at his time. It must be according to his word. It must be the person of his choice. It must first be revealed to his prophets. And point five, the prophet must be vindicated by the word. These are guidelines which you must keep because they fit into the Bible pattern. And if we have a Bible proclamation and if we want to be a Bible church in the end time, then that must be valid for us, what was valid for the church at the beginning. No interpretation, but the word revealed, placing it there where it belonged, in the right connection at the right time. And God always had his servants and his messengers whom he could send and whom he could use. I read it once again. Three things ye must not do. You must not dislocate or misplace the word. You must not take the word out of context. You must not misinterpret the word. The word must be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And if in Acts 20 is written that Paul preached the whole counsel of God, then of course only because God revealed it to him. And he was appointed by God to do so by the power of a divine authority and sending and call. That's how it is written. I send you to the Gentiles and I will be with you. Then we have it in the 5 points. It must be at His time, not too early and not too late, but when the time was fulfilled. When the time was fulfilled. And so that we can check it, it must be according to the word. And then, of course, it must be the person of His choice. God Himself decides whom He sends. God decides what He does when. And blessed is the man who then has the grace to recognize that it is God who sends His servants at all times to give His word and to reveal it. Then, also, it must be the person of His choice, and it must be first revealed to His prophets, and the prophet must be vindicated by the word. Brothers and sisters, let us dedicate a few minutes to these subjects. God's word is an absolute. And I say it now, how and why I came to this subject. Brother Branham was called to Houston, Texas, to pray for two young people who were sentenced to death. They were just waiting to come out of the death cell and to be executed. And it was the stepson of Mr. Ayers, who on the 20th of January 1950 took the picture in Houston, Texas, with a pillar of fire above the head of Brother Branham. This Mr. Ayers was a critic of Brother Branham. He very much ridiculed him. He made fun of him. But the photo was just here, and it came into the hands of Dr. George J. Lacey, who was responsible to examine questionable documents. But this Mr. Ayers, he was making fun of Brother Branham, and he was on the side of the critics. He himself was a Catholic. His wife was a Jew who brought the son into the marriage. And now the mother calls him and says, "Reverend Branham, my son is in the death cell together with his girlfriend, and they are waiting to be executed." Yes. And then Brother Branham was called, and some preachers of the country were called together, and then Brother Branham was preaching a sermon with a title, "An Absolute." And out of the Holy Scripture, from the Holy Scripture, he took the man of God as an example who received the word of the Lord as an absolute. He started with Moses. He went through all of them, and he listed them all. To make it short, the petition for mercy was successful, and Brother Branham had the absolute, and God answered the prayer, and the petition was granted. And the two young people who were sentenced to death, they were released. And in this connection, it was Brother Branham. It became so great to him what it means if one gets a yes from God, an absolute, in which one can anchor the faith. Then, also this I've written down here, the men of God came to my mind who had an absolute. And why did they have it? Because a calling, a sending, a commission was there. And when God speaks out a calling, when He gives a commission, when He gives a sending, then the whole hell can get loose. No one can change something about it. The last word has God. The last word has God. Exodus 3, verse 13 to 15. Here, we have the calling of Moses, and he wanted to know the name of the Lord, because probably he would have been asked, what is the name of him who sends him? Let us read from Exodus chapter 3. From verse 13. And Moses said unto God. Here we can stop a bit. Moses spoke to the Lord God from face to face. That's how it is written. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? This is the dependence of a messenger of God. He doesn't know everything. He only knows what God tells him and what God reveals to him. Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the I am has sent me unto you. What an absolute! What do we need more? God's word is our absolute. God did not only speak to Moses, he also spoke to us. And with the calling, we read in Exodus 4, verse 12, I will be with thy mouth. Moses should tell Aaron what God told him. I will be with thy mouth. God used the mouth of his servants and prophets to pass on his word, just as it came forth from the mouth of God. So, God's word is not the word of Moses, not the word of Elijah, but God's holy word. Brought by a commissioned mouth, leaving it for the people of God. Exodus 4, verse 28.
Alles mitteilen, was der Herr
telling him all what the Lord told you at your sending. What he told you at your sending. I read it. Exodus 4, verse 28. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him at his sending. A sending is a commission which must be carried out. And the word of the Lord in this commission is the absolute. This all the prophets had. All the apostles had it. And we can say, this also John the Baptist had. This Brother Branham had. A divine absolute. He received at his sending. And all the prophets knew what they had to do. And here's one more point which we must pay attention to. The true prophets were also called servants, as God revealed it unto his servants, the prophets. On one hand, as prophet receiving the word, and as servant serving the Lord God, according to the calling and sending. That's how it is also in the New Testament. Both, it's apostles, prophets, it's the various ministries and tasks, so that the word of the Lord is being proclaimed by a divine commission. Then we have in the New Testament the continuation of that, what the Lord started. He was sent. 43 times our Lord said in a row in the Gospel of John, he said, he who sent me, he who sent me. And then comes the point after the resurrection in John 20, verse 23, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. A divine commission, the great commission, an absolute, which was left to us. Deuteronomy 34, I would like to read in this connection now. Deuteronomy 34, here, the man of God ends with the words, Deuteronomy 34, from verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do as his sent one in the land of Egypt and Pharaoh and so forth. He as his sent one. Brothers and sisters, you already know what must be said now. If Brother Branham could not have testified of his calling and of his commission, where would then have been the absolute? The absolute is truly in the divine call and sending. And you can go to the first chapter of Joshua, There the Lord God says, my servant Moses is dead. I will be with you. Again, a sending. And in Isaiah 6, verse 8, whom shall I send? And who will be our messenger? Time and again, the word sending, send. Jeremiah 1, verse 7. To all that I shall send thee. Ezekiel 2, verse 3. He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Time and again, calling and sending, a divine commission was given, which had to be carried out, because it belonged to the plan of salvation of God. And therefore, we have the whole plan of salvation predicted in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we have the fulfillment. But coming back to what Brother Branham said here, taking nothing out of context, not taking something from here and there. I give you one example. Brother Branham mentioned 43 times the word from Zechariah 14, verse 7. There shall be light in the evening time. But he never took the word out of context. But he showed the comparison of what will happen with Israel in the natural. He transferred it to the church. There shall be light in the evening time. But the word remains there where it is, forever and ever, and will find its fulfillment. Just to show this to you here, that prophets didn't take a word out of context, but they left it there where it is. They just illuminated that part of the plan of salvation of which it is about now. And this is the characteristic of Bible prophecy, which on one hand has the natural fulfillment with Israel, and on the other hand, it has the supernatural fulfillment with and in the church. If, for instance, it's written in Zechariah 14 of the Lord God, in verse 4, in that day his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And then in the last part of verse 5, it says, then the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. And afterward, it says in the next verse, in that day. In verse 4, it says, in that day his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. And then in verse 6, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And already in the next verse it says, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. And then we already see the kingdom reign of our Lord. In verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. But to repeat this very clearly here, that what God promised to the people of Israel in the natural and will fulfill in their midst, Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, everything there where it is, so it is with the church, that we at the evening time, because the midnight hour comes for sure. That's what the Holy Scripture says. At midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And how precise Brother Branham, as a prophet, has seen it, that the day of salvation is coming to its end, and that we arrived in the evening time, that we are heading towards the midnight hour. And then he said it more than 40 times. It shall be light in the evening time. And he compares the past of the reformers, where there was just knowledge, but where there was no revelation. And then he shows that we are living in that time where not men are presenting their knowledge, but where by the prophetic ministry the word of prophecy is revealed, and where the fulfillment was shown to the church by his grace. No one needs to remain in darkness, but the word, we don't take it out of context. We leave it in the context in which it is written. And we are following the revelation which God has given to the church in the end time. To this, one could read many scriptures. Ye, my beloved brothers, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief, for ye are the children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 1 to 4. We must just acknowledge it, that God in our time has sent a prophet who also applied the word of prophecy for the church, not taking it out of the natural context, but just to show that what will happen with Israel in the natural, that happens in the church, in the supernatural realm. And brothers and sisters, the light which God has given by revelation is really only in the bride church, in those who are being called out, who put their feet upon revelation ground, who are not only hearing the word, but who get it revealed by God. And to this, we have two verses. We emphasize them in recent times from Matthew 13. The important verse in Matthew 13 is verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18 and 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The revelation by the Spirit is just necessary, because out of this alone comes forth whether we have the personal connection with God, whether for us the veil is torn, whether we have access into the presence of God to hear his voice. So, the enemy has really two tasks which he took for himself. Firstly, he takes away from us what God says to us by his word, inasmuch as it was not revealed to us. And in the moment where God's word is not revealed to us, the enemy can come and plant his explanations. And one hardly notices then that he has taken away something, what God has sown. And then he is putting his own things into it. And then, verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Who heareth the word and understandeth it. The Lord always was asking, have you understood what I have spoken to you? Brothers and sisters, let us come to the letters of Paul. Some have understood, others have misunderstood. To some, the word was revealed, the others are interpreting it until this very day. It is grace and again grace when God can open unto us the understanding for the Scripture. The example, well known to all of us, is in Luke 24. And here, we recognize how important it is that we walk together with the Lord, with him, the risen one, that we are walking with him on the same way. Luke 24, verse 30 up to 32. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake the bread, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Next verse. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? When the Lord is now walking with us and we with him, then he will open unto us the Scriptures. Then all will understand that we at this place do not glorify a man, that we are not running after a religion founder or some man who claims to be something, but that we were counted worthy to believe according to the promises of the Holy Scripture, believing what God is doing right now, and as he fulfills his promises in this time, especially the main promise which we must mention, of course, in every sermon. And I say to you as it is, a sermon without including what God promised in His Word is actually useless, because it leads around God and it leads around the plan of salvation of God. And this one can say because it is so. All who heard John the Baptist, they let themselves be placed into the plan of salvation. They were baptized. They agreed with God. And then it says, the friend of the bridegroom hears the voice of the bride, and this my joy is now complete. Not the scribes, but those who belonged to the bride, they hearkened to the message which the preparer of the way was preaching, and in obedience they accepted to be baptized. The same it is now. And I want to show you something else from the Holy Scripture. What kind of divine authority the man of God had in the New Testament to apply a word from the Old Testament differently to as it was said in the Old Testament. And nevertheless, leaving it as it was. For that connection in which it belonged. Well known to all of you. Nothing new now. The word from the prophet Malachi. Here we have both. And these two things are very important. Dear brothers and sisters, let us please not forget it. God had servants and prophets. And God does nothing. That's how it is written in Amos 3, verse 7. God does nothing unless He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. There are two times the statement, behold, in this German translation it says something else. But in the original it says, behold, I send you my angel. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send you. God sends. God commissions. And John the Baptist was the fulfillment of this promise. A sending which belonged to the plan of salvation of God at the beginning of the New Testament. The same is written also in verse 4. Most people have four chapters. Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. And then the promise, behold, I. Thus saith the Almighty God, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Yes, and in the New Testament, Peter, out of the great and terrible day, he made the notable day. We mentioned it here already. Acts chapter 2. Here the man of God refers to the Old Testament, to that what was promised. And we emphasize it straight away. What is written remains in this connection. Only When it is then about the New Testament church, then that part, which refers to the church, is emphasized. I read it. Acts 2, verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. What now? There, the great and terrible day, and here, suddenly, the great and glorious day. The same scripture, the same word of the Lord is used. And then one has to go with this scripture to the other scriptures to see how the Spirit of God, and let it be said now, in the Old Testament, the mystery of the church was not revealed at all. The things were announced, but only in the New Testament. Paul writes, as it was revealed now to his holy apostles and prophets. Here we have it. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and always in connection with the return of Jesus Christ. And this is then the confirmation that men of God were under the leading of the Holy Spirit, showing the fulfillment of the word from the Old Testament. Then they show not only the natural part of it, that the sun shall turn into darkness and that the moon shall turn into blood, but they show that part which comes at the end of the time of grace, at the breaking forth of the day of the Lord, namely the glorious morning, the return of our beloved Lord, before the sun shall turn into darkness and before the moon turns into blood. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here the emphasis is not on the day of the Lord, but on the day of Jesus Christ, the day of the glorious return of our Lord, so that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here we have an insight into the leading of the Holy Spirit, how men of God in the New Testament were placing the word, namely placing it for us, so that we are settled and established in the word. Philippians chapter 1, here it's written a few times in Philippians chapter 1, in what kind of way Paul placed the day of the Lord as the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 6. being confident of this very thing, that he which has began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Unto the day of Jesus Christ he will perform it. From verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We see that Paul was looking for the completion of the church, that he desired to see the church ready on the day of Jesus Christ. Here in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 16, we read, holding fast to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Jesus Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And now the places where the apostles left the day of the Lord as the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Here we have again the emphasis on the day of the Lord, not on the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And you already notice in chapter 4, it speaks of the rapture, especially from verse 13. Also, this word one must leave in the connection in which it belongs. Those who fell asleep in Christ shall rise first, and then we, who we are alive and who we remain unto the day of the Lord, we shall be changed, and together with them we shall be caught up and raptured. And also here, one must leave everything as it is written. When this happens, then two will grind the mill. One shall be taken, and one shall be left behind. Two on the field, one be taken, one be left. Two on one bed, one shall be taken, and one shall be left behind. When somebody says now, the Lord did come already, or as this brother in Virginia, he told me, the rapture has taken place long time ago, then one just has to say, leave every word of God in the context in which it belongs. Do not take anything from here to there, but leave it as it is written here. And if it is written here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself. The message precedes his second coming. And also, this is the point which we must emphasize, not because we want to emphasize, but because we must do it. Therefore, Brother Branham was, of course, told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, sent, please, Look up your concordances. Look it up. How often the word send is written. Always, when a commission was given in the connection with the plan of salvation, then it was always a calling, a commission, a sending. And so, it is until this very day. We believe out of conviction. For two reasons we believe. Because, firstly, it is a promise which God had to fulfill. There's no way around it. If somebody tells me that a promise is not finding fulfillment, this person is not my conversation partner. All the promises of God are yes and are amen. And when the hour of fulfillment comes, then the people of God recognize it, namely all who are hearkening to the voice of the Lord. Now, the transition to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord. Now we have again the same formulation. That the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And the connection is now no more to the church, but to them what is now going on. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then we are told, but ye, verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief, for ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. That's how it is written here. And then we go to Peter, who again describes the day of the Lord as the one who will come with fire. And yet, he speaks of apostles and prophets which have preached the word unto us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Peter 3:2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? And then, verse 8 and 9, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And right afterward, he again comes back to the Old Testament term, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You see that this term was really illuminated from both sides. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, where it speaks of the man of sin and of the man of lawlessness, we have also a short description concerning the day of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Here it is about the rapture, the return of our Lord, the gathering together with Christ, when we meet him in the air, and when we are taken up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I beseech you, brethren, today we are beseeched, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Lord had come. The day of the Lord is, of course, only then when the sun turns into darkness and when the moon turns into blood. But there were always brethren among the believers who wanted to know more, but who were not ordained by God, who had no calling, no commission. And they always caused confusion. For instance, I brought with me here a number of statements of Brother Branham, which he made about Matthew 25, 1963, 1964, 1965, how he speaks about that we are living in the time period where there's a waking up must take place, an arousing must take place, where the lamps must be trimmed, and where they must be filled with oil. There's no need, there's not a need of a man who somehow comes on the scene and says, from now on, this is in its fulfillment. It is in fulfillment long time ago. And all who have part in the fulfillment do not interpret anymore, but are believing the word and are being sanctified in the word. All the others are coming up with their interpretations and are causing confusion and disorder. God doesn't need anyone who interprets his word. That's how we heard it here in the three statements of Brother Branham, and also of the five statements of Brother Brennan. Not misinterpreting, but having part in the fulfillment of the promises. We also believe in this point, in this regard, that God is watching over his word. And God willing, we will show it tomorrow, that the calling out is the most important thing to belong to the wise virgins. That namely the foolish ones are also going out to meet the bridegroom, but they didn't let themselves be called out. They didn't let themselves be corrected. They didn't let themselves be brought into agreement with God and his word. But they remained there where they were. And therefore it is written, go to those who sell, go to the traders. A man of God is not a trader. A man of God is a sent one of the Lord, commissioned by the Almighty God. And where are the traders who have everything? All the charismatics. We are not judging. But whoever didn't come out himself cannot call out others. Whoever does not let himself be corrected by the word, and brothers and sisters, one could get frightened if one reads up all the details in the Holy Scripture. But let us come quickly to that, what we said at the beginning. What Paul and Brother Branham said in the comparison with the race to reach the goal. Just quickly, this wonderful word from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, from verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. So, in this case, don't worry about the brother or about the sister. Be worried about yourself. And look to the goal. Have your eyes fixed on the goal. Not onto the brother, not onto the sister, not onto the circumstances. Look yourself to the goal. And then, verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And now comes the most important. The most important now. I therefore so run, not aimlessly, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. So, we are looking to the Lord. We are looking to the goal. As Paul showed it, especially to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, from verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, please permit me to say this here now. But in Eastern Europe, there are, of course, some things which are different than with us here. And when we 2 weeks ago, when we were in Romania, and there they still have the habit in the Pentecostal churches, they have the habit that the people who come to the service, that they bend their knees and that they lay the service before the Lord and are praying. this I actually liked. Here, everybody can do or as he feels to believe. But in that Pentecostal church in Arad, where I was invited to preach, after the sermon, the preacher had the courage there and said, "Now we all want to kneel down and thank God for the word which we have heard." This really overwhelmed me. This happened where people have heard the message of God for the first time in a compact form. They heard it. And then they thanked the Lord on their knees for having heard the word. One could sense it. The prayer was loud. And one could really sense that the people received the word there. And the preacher, he said then to our brother Daniel, he said, "Just say something in closing and come again and bring us the word of God." Brothers and sisters, the Lord is still calling out. And we are not here today by coincidence. We are here today because God is still calling out. And the meetings which we have here are ordained by God. It's not my or your planning. And if I may just say this here also very humbly, not only Apostle Paul received the words on his way, "I will send you to the Gentiles." Not only John the Baptist was a man sent from God, to whom all were hearkening, whom the Lord opened their hearts. Brother Branham was a man sent from God. My Lord. And if we stand here in the presence of the Almighty God, and if we can look back to the day and the words we have still in our ears and in our hearts, they still sound, "I will send you from city to city to preach my word." So it didn't just end up in a talk. The messenger was taken from us, but the message was carried on into all the world. And all who know about it, they can remember it, that after the going home of Brother Branham, that the revealed word, the divine message for this time, was carried into all the world. And today, we, together with all the world, we may observe the word. And I hope that all, from the far north, on our continent, and in many countries of the earth, those who are joined with us and with God, and that we all cherish the great privilege which God has given us to have part in that what He promised, and what is part of the divine commission. And then, once again, back to the term, an absolute. No back talk. Final. No protest. Final. An absolute is final. One doesn't have to speak about it anymore. An absolute and an absolute of God is final forever. So, the man of God had an absolute. And therefore, Paul could write, "Christ is not yes and no, but yes and amen." The word of God is of course sure and certain. The word of God is my and your absolute. And we recognized, we have seen it on the two examples, that men of God in the New Testament, that what was written in the Old, they left it in the context in which it belongs. And nevertheless, by revelation of the Spirit, they could place everything correctly. What happens with the New Testament church? There shall be light in the evening time. The Lord will return and will take his own home. And this happens before the sun turns into darkness and before the moon turns into blood. Brothers and sisters, these are the most important moments in all of the history of mankind. The calling out, the preparation of the bride church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because only he who hears now to that, what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, will hear the trumpet, will hear the voice, will hear everything what God promised. And what will happen in the context into which he has put it. What else can we do today than to thank God, giving him the praise and the adoration? He fulfilled his word. He has sent the prophet. He doesn't have to ask anyone. And here's the point. All are bypassing it. Only those who belong to the bride church of Jesus Christ, they have an open ear to hear the voice of the bridegroom, to receive and to believe. In this connection, many things could be said still. Once again, Philippians 3. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. May this happen today in our midst, that we are so apprehended on our inside, that we know how to esteem the privilege that God speaks to us in such a understandable way, that he teaches us by his word. Yes, that he is giving us revelation by grace. As Brother Branham made himself available for a young couple which became guilty of the death of someone else. And in prayer, he received the absolute. He received the absolute. And he also told it to the people. And behold, God answered. Brothers and sisters, we have people here with different needs and problems. And there's hardly a house, hardly a family, or individuals where there would not be problems. May God's word be given to us as the absolute. And as Brother Branham also said, all what you ask in prayer, this shall be given to you. Brother Branham, he listed a few scriptures, and he time and again he said, this is my absolute, therein my faith is anchored. And in that moment, when the faith is anchored into the promises of God, then it becomes the power of God. And then the Lord God reveals His power and glory among those who believe Him. Brothers and sisters, we are expecting the supernatural working of God. Let us go with our insight. Let us go with the Word. And let us give room to the working of the Spirit. Just giving room. Tuning into the preaching. Tuning into the prayers. Just becoming a part of the matter which God is doing in our time. We respect the calling and the commission of every man of God. We respect up to our beloved brother Branham. Now just one more remark. All men of God who were in the past are highly honored and esteemed, who had no vindication at all. But men of God at the present time, they are rejected, although they have or had a divine legitimation. And then it's being fulfilled what Brother Branham also said. People always are thanking God for that, what He did once upon a time, and are looking forward to that, what He will still do, and are bypassing what He is doing right now. And who is helped by this? No one. God is not the I was, but the I am. That's how He told it to Moses. And that's how it applies today. Not only what God did at the times of Brother Branham or in the times of the apostles, but what He's doing right now. Let us have part in it. And let us believe with all our hearts and receive it. To Him, the Almighty God, who entrusted His Word to us, who opened unto us the Scriptures, and who speaks to us as a friend speaks to his friend, to Him, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who so personally speaks to us, and who quickens His Word to us, to Him be the honor, now and forever.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Let us stand up. Let us thank God together. Perhaps we sing the chorus, Only Believe, Only Believe.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh glaube nur, glaube nur, glaube nur, Jesus ist hier, alles ist möglich, weil Jesus ist hier. Jesus ist hier, Jesus ist hier.
We are having our heads bowed, are opening our hearts before God the Lord. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, as in the days of the Bible, so also today, wherever the Lord fulfills His promise and wherever He is in our midst, there happened what always happened when He walked this earth. He walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And there where people are hearing what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, there we are not only opening our hearts to the Lord, but everything what we are and have. And we say, come in our midst. Walk. Go through our midst. Save what is lost. Heal what is sick. Deliver what is bound. We want to do it. How many are here who have a really special prayer request and who believe that God will answer this prayer? God bless. God bless all over. Lord our God, you are a personal God. You appeared to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You became man for the sake of man. You have seen all the troubles, all the bondages. You have seen all the torment of the devil. You have seen it with your own eyes. And you witnessed it here on this earth. And then you, O Lord, went to the cross. You have shed your blood. You have given your life to redeem us and to heal us, to save us completely, and to take away the power of Satan, to conquer hell, and to transfer us into the liberty of the children of God. Dear Lord, together we glorify the power of your blood and the power of your word and the power of your spirit. And it shall happen in the name of the Lord that all who believe now, that they receive the absolute of God into their hearts. And the word of God as an absolute, that they use it. Precious Lord, we thank thee with all our hearts for your presence, for your blessings, for your speaking. Have thine own way with all of us. We don't let you go except you bless us. Great God, great God, have thine own way, manifest thy power, save, heal, deliver, and bless. Give revelation by your Spirit. Open our understanding for the Scripture. Great God.
Großer Gott. Großer Gott. Großer Gott. Großer Gott. Wir danken dir gemeinsam.
We thank thee together for the portion which we now can have in the fulfillment of the promises, having part in that what you, O God, are doing right now on the earth. You confirmed your word. You also vindicated your prophet in a supernatural way. As in the days of Moses, you came down in the cloud and in the pillar of fire. O great God, thank you. The rising from on high has visited us. The Lord God spoke to us through His Word. And His Word will also today not return void, but it will accomplish for what God has sent it for, here and on all the places around the earth. Precious Lord, bless your church worldwide. May all be blessed who were hearing and those who will still hear, and give us the grace to be goal-orientated, running in the race, forgetting what is behind us and stretching forth to what is ahead of us. Our eyes fixed on the goal. Hallelujah! Praise God.
Hallelujah! 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 Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Lebendiger Gott!
O living God! Eternal God!
Hallelujah! Du hast nicht nur zu Abraham und Mose.
You didn't only speak to Abraham and Moses. You also spoke to us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. O Spirit of the Lord, come down. Bless. As at the beginning, so also at the end. Bless.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Singen wir, oh, es ist Jesus.
Oh, it is Jesus.
Oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus. Nur allein. Ich hab berührt den Saum seines Kleides und sein Blut. Es wusch mich rein. Näher daheim, näher daheim, näher daheim. Bald ist das Werk getan, dann ruh ich aus daheim. Und einen Chorus, den alle mitsingen können in allen Sprachen. Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn.
I love him.
Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn. Das teure Gottesland, das mich geliebt und für mich starb. Am Kreuzes Stand. Englisch ist allen bekannt. Lass es uns auch in Englisch singen. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. And purchased my salvation.